Welcome to the Unapologetic Vixen Podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. I'm Natasha, a licensed sex therapist and certified sex and intimacy coach, on a mission to empower Black women to choose a life of pleasure, not just today, but every day. There is nothing more powerful than a Black woman that authentically owns her pleasure and sensuality. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the gems. Welcome to another episode of the Unapologetic Vixen Podcast, Owning Your Pleasure as a Black Woman. I am excited to have my first interview episode, not including the first episode where Charlisa interviewed me, but I did a Instagram live with a woman that is absolutely magnificent, and I felt like this would be the perfect way to round out talking about how the history of Black women has tainted our ability to accept pleasure, to go after pleasure, and to just live a fulfilling and super juicy life. I met this wonderful woman. We were in a group coaching program together, and because we coach on similar topics of healing and trauma and just Black women, women of color, living lives that are a lot more juicy, I figured it would be nice to hear her story and hear how history played into her being the fabulousness that she is, and to be able to bring that to her clients. So before we roll into the episode, which I know for a fact that you're going to enjoy, let me introduce our guest. Miss Pearl Noir is the Black burlesque queen, a paragon of glitz and glamour. Pearl is an intuitive healer, creative director, transformative coach, and the creator of the Healing Through Seduction program. She specializes in guided sensual touch, empowerment workshops, and burlesque-inspired healing rituals. Known as Mama Pearl in the burlesque community, she's been blessed with the unique gift of embodying Josephine Baker and healing her audiences. As a visionary, she's also an advocate for people searching for a community to reclaim their bodies and reclaim control over their sensuality. Pearl has been featured in magazines and websites like Cosmopolitan, Curve, 21st Century Burlesque, LA Times, Broadway World, MTV, Bustle, and Reflex. In 2001, she burst onto the burlesque scene, winning numerous awards during the annual Burlesque Hall of Fame weekend in Las Vegas. Pearl has been named one of the world's top burlesque performers by 21st Century Burlesque magazine 10 years in a row. After spending several years as a cast member in Dita Von Teese's popular Strip, Strip, Hooray, Pearl went on to complete a stint in Velvet, a musical starring Australian disco diva and superstar Marsha Hines and the Sydney Opera House. Pearl has performed her signature blend of sultry, athletic, and captivating dance in numerous venues throughout the world, including the Crown Casino in Melbourne, the Waltz in Tokyo, Teatro Circo in Madrid, and the Coco in London. She has also graced stages in the Bahamas, Milan, Helsinki, Auckland, Sydney, New York, and Los Angeles. Pearl is also a multi-talented businesswoman who constantly challenges herself with new historic ventures, including the Noir pageant and a series of transformative performances with the House of Noir. So I hope you enjoy this amazing interview with the Pearl Noir. Hello, audience, community, beauties. I have an exciting interview today. I've had the pleasure of being in her atmosphere, and it just makes me feel so good. I have called her my fairy godmother, and that is who she shall be. And she is here. She's here. Hello, fairy godmother Pearl.
Hello, darling. Hello. Oh,
I haven't seen your face in a while.
I know. I miss you so much. I'm so proud of you. I love everything you're doing. I felt so proud when you honored your beautiful assignment and said, I'm doing these things out here in the world for Black women only. I say, yes,
Thank
come on, come forward,
you.
come forward.
Thank you. Oh,
I love you too.
I am as selfish as I am with your energy. I am excited to share you with my community because I think that what you do with healing and movement is absolutely amazing. So before I get into all of the good stuff, share who you are. Like people don't know, but show who you are. Tell us who you are.
Thank you for the opportunity for me to honor my assignment by being bold enough to honor my throat chakra and say who I am. So I am the reincarnation of Josephine Baker. I am the reincarnation of myself. I am the Black burlesque icon and your sensual Gemini Cricket, people. Hello.
Yes, she is. She is. And if y'all don't follow her, y'all better because she has the legs out. She has the girls out, like out.
Okay, I was trying to be a little modest today. I was like, let me cover up a little bit for you. I don't know
No,
about your audience. Let me see
we don't need to
open.
be modest. No modesty at all.
Hello.
So, Miss Mother Pearl, how did you become icon that you are? How did history swirl to bring us?
You know, I didn't choose the game.
The game chose
The game
me.
chose me. Like a lot of people feel that way too, like burlesque really called them. So I found myself in New Orleans after leaving Vegas. I went to Vegas when I was 19 with like $300, a backpack, and dreams of being a showgirl, even though I'm like 5'2". Bless my little heart. I didn't know any better. And I was like, I'm going.
5'2" and a quarter.
You know, I'm like, I'm going to Vegas. Bye, everybody. And September 11th happened. So, of course, tourism went down, and I lost my job at the Excalibur Hotel with the little lounge band called Joy. I was a backup dancer and singer. Bless my heart. I was like, the Excalibur, it's a castle. Now, you could not find me in Excalibur today. But 19-year-old me was like, it's a castle. This is a sign. And so after September 11th, I found myself reconnected to my high school sweetheart, AKA the first abusive person I ever been with, in New Orleans. And so I was like, okay, I'm in New Orleans. What am I going to do? Let me see what shows are here. And I opened up Backpage. That's when it was safe to like use Craigslist and Backpage and all that. And this woman named Jeannie Hatch, Alicia Miller is her real name. A Black woman, she was like, I have produced this all Black burlesque show. I'm the director, I'm the producer, I'm doing all the music. Y'all come audition. I was like, I kind of knew what burlesque was, but I wasn't really sure. Like, I feel like I was briefly introduced to Josephine in passing. But when I went to that audition, I was like, oh, there's this part for this woman named Lolly Fadichie, ex burlesque icon turned stripper hole crackhead getting beat by Tron.
Hey.
I know Lottie Fadichie. I'm getting this part. I grew up with
Her
Lottie.
is me.
Lottie
She
is
is
me.
Wing. We are together.
Lottie raised me. Okay, like I grew up with crackheads. Like crackheads were at my birthday parties, not friends. So I got the role of Lottie Fadichie and immersed myself in learning about burlesque, and that's how I found out about the Burlesque Hall of Fame. That's how I really dug deep into who Josephine Baker was. That's how I found out about all the other Black burlesque performers who, you know, didn't get a lot of airtime because it was what it was. And I was like looking into Josephine Baker, and I was looking at her going from blackface to living in a castle, to having a rainbow tribe, to being the only woman to speak at the March on Washington, to hiding secrets for the government in invisible ink in her sheet music, like or on her sheet music. And so she spoke to me and she said, you're going to be me. You are going to honor my legacy. I choose you. She said, you're going to do this musical. But after that, you're going to go audition for a burlesque show and you're going to become me. And sure enough, I did that musical for like a year or two. Hey, babies. I did that for like a year or two. I think my cousin Q is here too. I did that for like a year or two in Montreal, in New York, like very like Chitlin circuit in a way, like we were making our own costumes. Unfortunately, she couldn't get the funding. You know, if she was doing it now, I know she would get the funding. But this is like 10 years ago. This is like 2000, no, more than 10 years ago. Shit, this was 2001. And so 2003, I said, okay, I'm going to go do this burlesque show. I'm going to audition for it. I went to the audition. There was a black, tall, beautiful, statuesque woman. I said, that's the choreographer. I know it. She was probably a real showgirl. Sure enough, she was. She became my burlesque mother, Dolly. And she looked at me and she told the white man who was in charge, she was like, that's a star. And he wasn't feeling me. I didn't have the look. I don't have that traditional beauty. And this was an all-white show. But she was like, no, this girl's a star. So she vouched for me. First day of rehearsal, I said in my mind, I'm going to be Josephine Baker. They're going to make sure I'm Josephine Baker. We went in, they said, okay, we got to figure out, you know, because this show gave you your character and gave you your stage name. And I told Dolly through my mind, I said, I'm Pearl Noir. I'm Josephine Baker. She said, Rick, you know, let's have her do Josephine Baker and let's call her Pearl Noir. And I said, oh, wow, that's so amazing. What they don't know and what a lot of people don't realize is that Pearl Noir was Josephine Baker's name in Paris.
Ooh. I did not know that.
And hello to my beautiful cousin Q. Hey, everybody that's joining.
Wow, yes, hello. Yeah, I'm in awe because I haven't heard all of your story. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that you bring up the back, you know, the back and the crackheads and all that, because I, on my podcast, have been doing like a history series of how we got here, how as Black women we got here to be doing all the things, supporting all the people, and not being able to center ourselves and center our pleasure. And you and I both know pleasure is what makes the world go round, right? So how did you move through all the things life and to get to a place where not only do you bask in pleasure, but you hold space to do that for other people?
I knew at a very young age that I was supposed to heal myself in the world through pleasure, through honoring this very unique body that I came through my mother in. I remember learning very early that everyone was afraid of a little girl becoming a woman who said yes to herself.
Right.
One of the first memories I have about that is, bless my mother, she's a habitual liar. And one of the first lies she told many family members about me was that she caught me coming into the house and there was a gangbang. I think I was like 11 or 12 and everyone believed this lie. Now I was sneaking out of the house to go talk to the moon. And I remember everyone, you know, the majority of my family believing this very outlandish lie. And so since that lie, it was very, and I had already had like a size 6 CD cup. And I had already had a switch, as they call it, about me. And so I was already labeled as a fast-tailed girl, even though everyone at school was calling me ugly. There weren't any boys interested in me like that. And I just couldn't understand why there was this like immense pressure as a girl to cover my body, to walk differently, but there was no pressure for like my male cousins to act a certain way. There was no pressure for my uncles to act a certain way. So I think that's where it first clicked for me. And then as I got older and found myself in different type of very negative, toxic relationships, I understood that I was staying in those connections, trying to heal that mother wound, trying to rely on emotional surrogates. So it all goes back to pleasure. And sometimes we think we want pleasure when we really want intimacy.
Right.
I hope I answered right. that question.
Yes, yes. And I'm so happy you brought up intimacy, because, you know, being a sex and intimacy coach, mm-hmm. a lot of black women have no clue what intimacy means and what it means to have it within yourself, and then being able to get that type of connection with someone else. It's always like, well, intimacy has to have some form of physical sexual connection to it. And that is just so far from the case.
You know, black women don't know anything about intimacy, because black women are taught from a very young, when we're girls, we're taught that our pain is the best thing we can offer to our family. It's a badge of honor. You know, it's mm-hmm. like the strong girl. I mean, again, I remember being 15, taking care of my infant brother while adults were around and no one batted an eye. And you know darn well, if I were a boy, people would have jumped in. And so I had right. already learned that my existence is all about how, like, I was 15, staying up to 6, 7 a.m., not sleeping, going to school, picking him up as soon as I got home. So it was already ingrained in me that my life was not about pleasure. I couldn't go out and do what my friends were doing. My life was about how much pain I can endure. And mm-hmm. the other issue I would say too around black women with pleasure, unfortunately, black women have been taught that white women are the goal and whiteness is the goal. So anything close to white is right. So what mm-hmm. breaks my heart often too is that when black women do, a lot of times, unfortunately, when black women do decide to think about their pleasure and think about intimacy, they go to white women who often are imitating black women. And I say this even from my burlesque experience. I can't tell you how many times I went backstage and cried after my performances, because I'm there with Dita Von Teese. Everyone feels like she's the epitome of burlesque and beauty. And there's like three black women in the audience watching me be vulnerable, intimate with myself, sensual, in power. And they have turned their backs. I've had black women literally turn their backs while I am performing just to give my white counterparts standing ovations. So that's why it's so important that you are doing what you're doing. And you're saying, well, here's a space for black women. I'm a black woman. Come to me. So I just applaud you so much. And I'm grateful that I see you now, but my God, had I seen you when I was younger.
Thank you for that. Cause you know, I struggled.
Yes, that's with why that I want to say this to you.
I struggled because there is so much backlash and so much of an issue of holding space for black women. And whereas there are so many BIPOC women of color spaces, which is great and it is much needed. But then when I look and I'm like, okay, but where's the space for people that just look like me? Because my situation is different, and I'm not negating anybody's situation, but being black is different and it feels different. And the more I look into the history, because I also talked about on the podcast, intentionally not looking into my history.
Yeah.
Intentionally not, like, I'll look at the basic movies and all that, but I didn't want to go any deeper because I willfully did not want to know. I didn't want to know why I am the strong black woman, why I am the breadwinner, why I take care of my family, why everyone's always calling me, though I am a therapist, I'm everyone's therapist. I just figured that is what it is. That is what I saw my mother do.
Yeah.
That's what I see women doing. That's what I'm supposed to do. But the more I read about history, it was ingrained from the very beginning. Like, we would not have known any different, because being out on the field, black women were treated just like black men.
Yeah.
You pick up this, you do the hard labor, you do the hard work, and also take care of your kid, and also come in here and take care of my kids, and also lay on your back for me, because as much as I despise what you look like as a black woman, I am completely turned on and you will do what I want you to do.
Yes, as much as I lie about
being, exactly.
I lie about it. So that's why people like us have been born again through our ancestors. Our ancestors are speaking so loudly, and that's why I'm so grateful to be alive right now, and so grateful for things like social media, because we can all choose who we're following And if you choose the right people, you'll only receive the beautiful messages that you need to receive on your feed. And there's so, our ancestors are coming through technology. People of color need to be grateful for technology. Our ancestors have never been so prominent in our lives. They have never had a channel. Naya the God agrees. Hey, baby. Like, they have never been so open and clear. And we've never been so open to receiving their messages. And so people like us were born again to right the wrongs through sensuality, to give our ancestors an opportunity to be soft and to rest through us, to give our ancestors an opportunity to hold on to their clitoris. To give our ancestors the opportunity to heal seven generations forward and back. So that's why pleasure, rest, joy, these things are so important. We need to be activists through our joy, be activists through our pleasure. We know that we can take pain. We know that we can march.
Right.
And we've already marched. Let our white counterparts go. Let our white friends go. Let our white allies go. It's their turn to march. It's our turn to sit here and have a glass of champagne and some caviar.
Absolutely. And for those of you that do not know, Mother Pearl was the first one to connect meditation and dance and make it make sense to me. I love dance. I love pole. I love sensual dance. I love my cheeks out. I love my pleaser heels. I love it all. And to be able to watch you move the way that you do, and for you to say, this is my form of meditation, I was like, holy shit. That makes perfect sense, because when I get under the red light and I'm in the mirror and I can feel the boom of the music, there is nothing else that matters in that moment. Like, it is nothing. And it was you that convinced me that you may not have even known it was you, but to perform in PoleCon this past weekend, I've never performed in front of anyone outside of my little class at the Pole Studio. That was my first time ever.
I didn't know that.
Ever. Never. And I was so nervous. But I tapped into that part of me that was like, fuck it. Like, let's run it. Let's do this. Like, nothing else matters. And I thought about you when the email came that I was going to do it. And I was like, this is my space. Like, this is what I enjoy doing and being. And so we're going to get up here and we're going to fuck it up.
I didn't know that. Oh my God, I didn't know that. I want to acknowledge everyone who's in the chat too. I see some beautiful comments. My wife has joined the chat. Hey, Jen.
Hello.
I had no idea that I inspired you to be so bold. And I think for me, the reason why meditation and dance feel natural, it's because when I think about people of color, when I think about indigenous people, when I think about African people, when we go ahead and look at those little documentaries, you know, they're moving their body. The Black women, the African women are twerking. It's spiritual and it's healing and it's about celebration. And I just said to myself one day, I was like, but as a Black woman, surely it isn't natural for me to do what my white counterparts are doing when they are meditating, which is to be still. I think that's beautiful. But I said, but you aren't white. And this practice is not from white people. It's from indigenous people. It's from African people. It comes from India. And I'm like, right, but ethnic people move. That's just it. Yeah. Just honor your truth. You want to move. That is what makes you feel healed. And so I've been trying to like shout it to the rooftops. And I remember thanking my ancestors too, because I took some training, conscious erotic touch with Goddess Amina. And I remember asking her about this. I was like, you know, when I meditate, I need to move through this. And she was like, yes, like do what feels natural. So it's always good when you have the teacher let you know that you're not crazy, when there's someone who will validate things for you. Oh my God, y'all, Miss Sexy is here. Oh, crushing hard. Yes. So now that I'm blushing, back to you.
So you have your Healing by Seduction program, and I've seen the testimonials, I've seen those talking about it. How did you put healing and seduction and merge those together?
I am like that hair growth for men commercial. You remember that hair growth for men commercial, y'all? Let us know in the chat if you remember. Baby, he went through and he was like, and these hair plugs are working, y'all. Like, look at this. This is my before and this is my after.
This is
Y'all, look at his
my
hair. Look at his hair. You too can have some hair. And by the way, I'm not only a client, I'm the hair club president. That stuck with me forever. And then Biggie Smalls, of course, said it. And that is me. I am not only the client, I am the president. I was my first student, client, testimonial, healing, success story. I created Healing Through Seduction for myself because I noticed that I really, oh my God, my cousin is still here. I love you. I realized that I really hated being a dark-skinned girl. I remember being like 9, cutting out pictures of biracial women with curly hair at 9, being like, I'm saving up my chore money so I can go get this plastic surgery. And then when I went into burlesque, I remembered so many white audience members, black audience members being like, you know, you're great. It's just too bad you're not, you know, a blonde bombshell. It's too bad you don't look the part. Like, oh, you would be so successful if you were just pretty enough. Oh, you'd be just so successful if your body was different. So I noticed that I would feel amazing getting these standing ovations and then would get back to my room and feel sad again. And I had this very traumatic connection with my mom too. My mom also would always say very negative things to me, and she played a real role in my low self-esteem. And so I remembered finding myself in all of these connections where I was constantly seeking this emotional surrogate to like make up for what I felt I didn't receive from my parents or certain family members. And one day I just said, you are gonna need, like, yes, these people have done some things to you, but what is your role in your own suffering? How are you going to change the lives of the black and brown people in the audience who aren't turning their nose to you? You know, the ones who are coming up to you crying and saying that you are impacting them, you need to make sure that you're impacting them on and off stage. And so I said, let's start a journey of body positivity. And for me, body positivity had nothing to do with my curves. I said, how are you going to change the part of your body that won't change, boo? You can't take this off. You don't have the money to do it. It's called cake baking, I believe, where you can lighten your skin. You ain't got it, boo. So this is gonna be it. So I said, you have to learn how to love this brown skin, and let's see the connection to you and any traumatic relationship you've been in, right? So it starts with the things like the love bombing, you know, it starts with them telling you, oh, you are pretty after you've heard so many people tell you you're ugly. And I was like, oh, okay, so what's that? Affirming words. Great. Let's go to affirm yourself. Let's start with affirmations. How is that seductive? Well, when you do fall in love with people, most of us, especially black women, we are taught to fall in love with the trauma. You know, all women get caught up in what men say. So I just asked myself to treat myself the way I wanted to be treated and how people looped me in, seduced me in the beginning before they started calling me the B word and punching holes in the wall and things like that. And I was like, it was all about the romance. It was all about the words that they were saying. And I was like, oh, that's the total seduction. And I said, the most important part of the seduction is to remember, well, if you can be seduced by someone else's trauma, why not be seduced by your own? And what I mean by that is, if we can fall in love after someone reveals their trauma to us, we fall in love with the possibility of lifting them up. We fall in love with the possibility of being that first person that's going to treat them right. And we have such grace for their trauma. And I said, well, why can't you give yourself grace? So when I think of seduction, I think of that kindness. I think about how we're going to uplift ourselves, how we're going to give ourselves what we're so willing to give to others. Not necessarily, right. You know, masturbation, because when you say seduction, it scares people. When we say healing, it scares people. And so yep. My seduction, the way I approach it, and in my program, I offer a space of intimacy, glamorous community, and love without the pressure of giving or receiving an orgasm. It's just about you being present with self.
I love that. And Legend of the Daywalker says she will never forget the first time I saw you perform. Such an amazing artist. Thank you for inspiring me.
Oh, oh, thank you.
I love that. I love everything about your story. I love everything about what you embody, how you help, how just everything about you just oozes, come hither. Like, come here, come be in my space, and you too can live like this if you follow my road.
If you follow the roadmap, you too can find a way to be okay with your joy. I know as people of color, black men too, we are taught that, oh, just keep taking the abuse. That's what you're here for. It is so deep, and it goes so far back. And I'm asking all people, but especially people of color, especially black women, I'm asking black women to redefine what it means to be a strong black woman. I'm asking women to redefine what it means to live a life of seduction, what it means to be present with yourself. And I'm asking all of us to redefine resilience, to inspire our community, to inspire our loved ones with our joy, not just how much we can be broken down. Sit down, inspire by sitting down, inspire by actually letting your children see you cry so they know it's normal for them, so they don't feel like something's wrong with them. Inspire your children by saying, hey, mommy, daddy's not available from this time. Entertain yourself. I've taught you how to cook. I've taught you how to clean. Do you. So that when they get married, that man doesn't grow up to be a man who feels threatened by a woman's power and vice versa. Mm-hmm. That woman doesn't feel so insecure that she doesn't know that it's time to leave when you feel like you need to look through the phone. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be in a place where you don't trust that person. You need to trust yourself. Trust your instincts.
And so how, I know I want to keep all of your time as much as I would love to. How would you, someone that is watching, what would be the first step to them building that trust, getting into that intuition? Because, you know, for women of color, the intuition has been snuffed out, or we just haven't been taught. Like, I knew nothing about an intuition and what the heck that was until I was taught. And now I'm like, oh, okay, that's what that is. The drop in my butterflies when I'm thinking about something. If you can't hear it and you don't know what it is, yeah. What is the first thing that you can do to step into that, to answer that, to live from that space?
I'm glad you asked. So one of the things I did and that I love to teach other people to do in regards to like that first baby step is to think of yourself as a baby. So you are teaching yourself how to heal yourself. You're teaching yourself how to self-soothe. You're teaching yourself how to acknowledge ancestors, how to acknowledge your inner child, your inner diva, your God, your demigod. You know, this is all new. So one, have the patience and the curiosity of a child, right? Mm-hmm. And the willingness to honor your full range of emotions like a child. And yeah. A quick and easy way to practice this, to like really get in tune to listening to your intuition, which means you need to listen to your body, is to listen to when you're hungry and when you're thirsty. So we know.
Or when you have to pee, Pearl, when you have to pee. That is one of the first ways that yes. I got connected with my body when I went to my sex doula training. And the trainer said, what does your vagina say? And I said, she's telling me to pee. Yeah. It's the basic thing. But it's one of those things where it's like, I don't have enough time. I don't honor myself enough just to go pee.
Yeah. And that's a real thing. So start peeing when you need to. And also, when you're hungry and thirsty, like we know, if I don't eat or drink, I'll die. And we have to remember that's what our spirit is doing. It's just slowly dying because we're not nurturing ourselves. Mm-hmm. So what you can do to practice this, like you said, go to the restroom when you need to. But when you feel thirsty and you drink water, go ahead and drink the water. And as you nourish your body, nourish your mind and your spirit. So that's a moment to say an affirmation. When you are hungry, actually sit down and take your time to enjoy your meal. Think about gratitude there. So that's how I trained myself. Anytime I had something to drink or something to eat, I said an affirmation. And then I started doing things like only eating my dinner on my china. Ooh. As a way to honor ancestors through like being luxurious and glamorous. And also understanding that I don't need to wait to celebrate.
That one.
Yeah.
That one. And that's good to hear because, you know, I always tell women, like, the first thing to do to connect, one, you got to get out of your head because your mind is a liar. Your brain is a liar. Your heart is not that far behind.
Yeah.
But your body is the truth, and the best way to connect with yourself is to set in those senses, like drinking your tea and paying attention to the warmness in your chest or what the fabric feels like on your skin, or stop rushing through your shower. Enjoy your shower. Enjoy the lotion. I full on concerts in the shower and
yes,
dance and right and twisting when I'm putting my lotion and my oil on. Anytime there's a mirror, I gotta twerk. I don't know where that came from, but yes, it's just like, you know, it's just like paying attention. We just don't pay attention because we feel like there's not enough time. We don't have the time to pay attention. We don't have the money to pay attention. There's so many other things where our attention should be instead of with ourselves. And when you pay attention to yourself, everything else benefits, and those that don't, they weren't supposed to be there in the first place.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So what do you have going on? How can the people see you, get in your space? How can they rub elbows with you?
So I have my Healing Through Seduction 8-week course happening right now. Registration is open. There's about 9 more days to register. I just had, like 3 months ago, I had my 6-week series, and that one was run just like an ongoing workshop. And I had a lot of people who are from overseas signing up. I had a lot of people who worked a lot, and they were like, oh, I thought I would be able to go live with you, but I couldn't. So I said, okay, let me figure out some solutions here. So with the course, I'm running it like a traditional course, so people will get 8 modules. They'll have about 40 pre-recorded rituals, worksheets, lessons that are coming out weekly. But we will also meet once a week for a live session. And of course, I have some surprises and bonuses and things like that as well. Because I want to make sure that people have no reason to neglect themselves. So if it's like, if it's weekly assignments coming out to you, if it's a weekly PDF file, that's like, here's a 2-minute healing session for you to give to yourself. You know, here it is. Here's an audio for you if you don't have time to watch a video.
Right.
Put your earbuds on and listen to this as you walk to the store while you're in the grocery store. So I'm just doing my best to make it easy as possible for people to say yes to themselves. And so if people are interested in learning more about this course, you can DM me the word rebirth and I'll give you some more info.
Yes. And if you have any questions, drop any questions and we can get them answered real quick. How can people see you? Are you out in the streets? Are you gracing the stage? What are you doing?
I am doing like some private events, but nothing public just yet. You know, I'm still hesitant because of the COVID.
I know. And the numbers are coming back up too.
Yeah, so I'm still a little hesitant, but people can see me on these internet streets, though.
You can. Y'all have got to follow and catch her when she got that leg out. She got them eyes and the fans. Y'all better catch her. Catch that spirit. Catch the spirit through the interwebs, okay? I love you so much.
I
And
love you
I haven't
back.
even known you that much, but it's just one of those things where you meet someone and it's just like, where have you been all my life? Like, we were supposed to have like been doing this.
Been.
Right. So I am so appreciative to have you in my circle and, being able to reach out to you when I want. I absolutely love it. And you're there for me. And I want all of you to get this energy, get this space, because she's absolutely amazing. And I can't wait to drop you everywhere that I can in my atmosphere so that the people can get to know you and love you as much as I do.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody who tuned in. I really appreciate all the love and support. Pow.
Yes, thank you for joining us. And I know y'all, some of y'all on here probably have known her long and is like, yeah, we got to share her with you. Yes, you do. Just like I have to share her with the new people, okay? Don't give me a side eye because I'm the newbie, okay?
I love it. I love it. Oh.
So all of you have a wonderful day. Have a great day, Miss Pearl, my
Mwah.
and
Be
I
good and
will
bad,
talk to
everybody.
you soon. Good and bad, yes.
Was that not an amazing interview? I could be biased, I don't know, and I don't care, but I absolutely enjoyed talking to the fairy godmother Pearl Noir, and I hope you enjoyed this first interview on the podcast as much as I did. I will be dropping all the ways to get in touch with Miss Pearl in the show notes. And I want you to have an amazing weekend. And I will talk to you next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Unapologetic Vixen podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. If you enjoyed this episode, like, leave a comment, and share it with someone you know could use the space. If you're ready to tap into your pleasure, join the Virtual Vixen Suite. It's a safe space for Black women to gain support and empowerment as they access pleasure, intimacy, and satisfying sex every day. And remember, pleasure is your right, boo.